I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Valero Texas Open. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Rick. Looking forward to tonight discussing the Valero Texas Open. Always a fun one, fun golf course, tricky little golf course. So I'm looking forward to it.
We were just saying that the next time we do this, 7 days from now, will be us talking about the Masters.
Yes. And how exciting is that? I can't believe it's here. It doesn't feel like, well, in a lot of ways it does feel like it's Masters time, and a lot of ways it doesn't. But this week, definitely spending a lot of time getting into it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
When the Open Championship ends, it feels so far away. And now that it's a week away, I'm trying to like really bask in it because I know it's going to go quickly, but all those days I was thinking, oh my gosh, 100 days, 90 days, 80. Well, it's like 7 days now. So it's here. I should enjoy this.
With all that's gone on in the game of golf. And I mean, just think about what has taken place between the Open and now and how torturous it's been. And that's not, it's just that the focus hasn't been on the golf. And now it feels like the focus is on the golf, which is awesome.
We deserve it. And we're getting a pretty decent field in Texas this week. Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, Ludwig, Colin Morikawa, Homa, Fitzpatrick, amongst others. The golf course they are going to tackle is TPC San Antonio. Troy, if you want to fire up my screen, I have got the scorecard here. It is a par 72, Greg, 7,400 yards. This is a course we've been going to routinely over the years, even though we are getting some guys who don't necessarily make it part of their schedule.
Yes. And I said in the intro there, which was probably a mistake, tricky little golf course. And it's not little. This is a big golf course, right? 7,400 yards. It is par 72. And two of the par fives are over 600 yards on both of them on the front nine, number two and number eight. You have 18 at 591. So the par fives are no picnic, still scoring opportunities, of course, but they are long. And you have some longer par threes as well. Number 13, 241 yards. The par fours are not nearly as long as last week. So I don't think you're going to see the same quantity of long irons into the greens. Much more of a, you know, middle iron. He even gets some wedge opportunities on this golf course. So it's kind of back to, for me anyway, back to the old strokes gained approach. I think covers it best.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this golf course is we have a lot of data on it, right? We play it every single year. And even with having a lot of data, there's not one or two things that stand out. It's kind of an average PGA Tour course, statistically, that is. The one thing, Greg, that I thought was interesting, and I bring this up because you were alluding to it. The only two proximity areas that more shots come from than tour average are short shots, 100 yards and in, and long shots, 200 yards and longer, which is what you were talking about. Those par fives that are going to be, you're going to have to try to eat them up with, you know, driver, three wood or whatever that ends up being, but still some scoring opportunities coming with wedge in hand. I was trying to find another course where the only two places that are above average are frequency of shots from basically wedge range or 100 yards and in and 200 yards or more. I couldn't find another example of that. So that to me is the biggest statistical outlier of TPC San Antonio on an otherwise average statistical golf course.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm not sure where all these, I guess that may speak to the wind. You know, you get some downwind shots and all of a sudden a hole that's 410 yards is you got nothing left into the green.
Yeah.
Right. A hole that's 480 and is playing into the wind and you got 220 in.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden. So that may be one reason why, because statistically last week it made sense why so many shots come from outside of 200 yards. Every hole's long. Mm-hmm. Right? You got 490 yard par, 120 yard par fours. You're going to have long shots in. But this week, at least looking at the card, it doesn't appear to be that way. So that's an interesting wrinkle. But one thing that does stand out when you look at winners and players who have had success here, I do think there's a similar style. You think of a Corey Connors winning here twice. You think of a Jordan Spieth at his best is a great iron player. Kevin Chappell, a great iron player. Charlie Hoffman, great iron player. Even with like Andrew Landry in 2018, he led the field in strokes gained approach for the week. And you look at these last six winners, Rick, three of them were first in the field for in strokes gained approach in the week of their win. Kevin Chappell was second. Jordan Spieth was fourth. JJ Spawn's the only winner that was outside the top five of the last six, and he was 23rd in that category. So I do think this is kind of a classic ball strikers perform really well here.
That is music to my ears. We will dive into this field, find those ball strikers, find the guys that are going to play well at TPC San Antonio this week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. And we're back. This is the cheat sheet, rickrungood.com. We've got four golfers over $10,000. Greg, Rory McIlroy leads the way, 10,300. Hideki Matsuyama, 10,600. Ludvig Åberg at 10,500. Colin Morikawa at 10,100. That is a very interesting group of four golfers that we don't usually, like, those four guys together doesn't happen often. What are we doing up here, Greg?
Oh, it's a very interesting lineup. And part of the reason is because of Rory McIlroy. We're used to seeing the guy that's the highest price this year. It's been Scottie Scheffler quite often. And anytime he's played, he's been an auto press. You build your lineup around Scottie Scheffler. Rory McIlroy, throughout his career, has been in a very similar camp. This year, he's not. And the big concern with Rory has been his iron play. I mean, I was looking through some of his statistics today, and some of them are really quite good. Like his driving accuracy, especially, is extremely good this year. He's 36th on tour in driving accuracy. I am reciting this off the top of my head, but I believe he's 23rd in distance from the edge of the fairway. Mm-hmm. So he's been very, very good with that club off the tee. But the big concern has been the iron play. And at that price point, he worries me. And I think he's a fadeable option. Of course, proceed with caution. There's a lot of risk there. But I think Rory's in a very fadeable camp. And then the two guys beneath him, Hideki and Ludvig, just look to be lights out right now.
The losses for Rory McIlroy on approach, I think three times in the last five, and a couple of them have been massive. You flip around and look at Hideki's profile, and it looks like a vintage Hideki profile, Greg. I mean, he is back to being, at least in the last three, an elite ball striker, a good enough putter, and the around the green play is always underrated. I mean, this is a guy who looks like he's in form again, like he's Hideki again.
Yes. And on a golf course like this, that could be a huge asset, right? You get the sense that he could just knock the cover off the ball this week and dominate with his tee to green performance. Though I always worry about Hideki's health. I wonder if he's going to just wake up, have a bad day and not be able to perform or withdraw or something like that. It always worries me, but it's hard to look past these results.
It worries me too. But I sleep well at night knowing that it's unpredictable, right? Which is weird. There is nothing that we could do, know, say, hear, understand that would give us a leg up on whether Hideki is going to withdraw or not. He might. Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
So like, I don't even consider it. There are some guys I'm like, oh, maybe it's a nagging thing, or I'm going to listen to his presser. Nope. I'm just like, plug the ears. I have no idea whether he's going to withdraw or not. So I'm just going to act like he's not.
And he's played phenomenally well. So if you go by that camp, then, which I think is wise to do, because that stuff has been incredibly unpredictable. And his press conference isn't even a good indication of that, right? He's felt terrible and hit it great.
He's horrible at describing himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. And he has a T15 here in his last start withdraw in 2022. and T30 in 2021. So, I mean, he seems to check all the boxes for me. You mentioned the underrated short game. That is such a big asset this week, especially on a golf course with really difficult bunkers. Hideki's a very good bunker player. I love what he does with the short game, and I think it could be really, really valuable this week.
Best around the green player in the last 36 rounds is Hideki Matsuyama. Ludwig, I think that, I don't have much more to say on him, right? The oxygen that I've used on him in the last 9 months or so, it still stands. He is a phenomenal player since he's turned professional. By most metrics, he is a top three player in the world. There's just not a lot to dislike about the state of his game.
No, I mean, every single event has been a top 30 finish. And since the Farmers Insurance Open, they've all been top 25s. And it's felt kind of like he's underperformed in a strange way. So I can easily get on board with, hey, Ludwig's going to win one of these soon. And on a golf course where you got to keep it in front of you off the tee, that a golf course that does have some length, and we got to be really precise with your irons. He's a, like you said, a top three ball striker on tour. And so with both Ludwig and Hideki sitting behind Rory McIlroy with the questions about him and the price difference, I'm very comfortable playing Hideki or Ludwig over Rory.
I am too. Let's wildly speculate for a second. And I hate to do this. I hate to try to get into some of these guys' heads and all that stuff. But I just feel I don't know if I feel this. I'm confident in saying next week for Rory McIlroy is all that matters. That is not to say he will not play well at the Texas Open, but I would be stunned if there is not an eye looking forward to next week, no matter what happens here. I would find that hard to believe. Now, it's going to be a big week for Ludwig. He's going to make his first Masters appearance. It's going to be a big week for Hideki. He's won it before, but it just feels different for Rory.
And it always has, and it will until he wins a Masters. It just will. I mean, Rory McIlroy was in great form last year, and all of a sudden at the match play, he's changing drivers and changing putters. And like all this stuff that was going great is all up in the air all of a sudden. And that's a sign of pressure. He's changed the formula of, okay, well, 2 years ago, he played the week before. It didn't work out in the first three rounds. He played a great Sunday. One of the lowest ever on Sunday at Augusta National, came in second and is invigorated. And then he plays 81 practice holes there the week, in the weeks leading up. And Right. There's this idea that, well, we got to crack the code. And that worries me. It's not like Rory heading into a PGA championship or a US Open or an Open. It's different. You can feel it. You can sense it, and you can understand it. It should be different. So it's not a knock on him by any means, but you're right, Rick. This means everything to him. And the whole year, I can't imagine this pressure. The whole year comes down to 1 week. Every year.
It's no wonder the first round, it's got to be a freaking pressure cooker on that first tee.
To handle that, to think you could handle that, to think somebody should be able to handle that is naive, because I don't know if you can understand how much this means. I mean, he made a kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, or just win a green jacket and kind of get out of here. Like, Like, this is the last thing I have to do.
Right. It's the only thing I haven't done. Maybe the most interesting golfer in this field, especially at the top of the board, based on the price that's being asked for him, is Colin Morikawa. This does not look like the stat profile of what you'd expect from Colin Morikawa. He's lost strokes on approach in three out of his last four, including some pretty significant losses at both Bay Hill and the Players Championship. The putter is back to, miscooperating off the tee stuff. Some good, some bad. What in the world do you do here?
You fade him. Right. I don't think there's really any other option unless you're just a glutton for punishment and you think it's fun to take a risk, or you've been in the camp with Ian Mark Blackburn and have seen something noticeably change. But based on the information that we have, we saw him at the Players Championship grinding on the swing, looking quite frustrated, trying to figure it out. We've seen the patented cut miss left time and time again, which is the biggest concern. There's just simply no sign at this point with the information we have that it's going to be a good week for Colin Morikawa. So should you play him? It's a game theory play. I'm not sure it's a good one, but it's a game theory play, or you're just rolling the dice on talent alone, which he has the talent for it. But it's really hard for me with the guys that surround him to say, okay, I'm gonna fade Rory, Hideki, Ludwig, go with Colin Morikawa because I think he's better than what he's been doing. I don't like to mess with that kind of stuff at this price range.
He's never played this event before, so he'll be making his debut in addition to all of that. The 9K range, Max Homa, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, twice a winner, Corey Connors, Tommy Fleetwood, and Benny on. Greg, how would you like to start this range?
All right. So there's three guys in this range I'm interested in. I guess you could say willing to play. And there's one of them is a question mark.
Okay.
That guy, I'll start there. That's Max Homa.
That's the question
mark. That's the question mark. And I feel a lot different about Max Homa than I do Colin Morikawa. Max Homa has shown a lot of potential for upside. He struggled off the tee a little bit, specifically in Florida. I think that can come back into form. He's been working with Mark Blackburn for a long time. I feel a lot better about their ability to get things on the right track, whereas Colin Morikawa, it's brand new. So the trust factor is there with Max Homa, and with Morikawa, I don't know if it is. I also love what Max does on and around the greens. And he does enough on and around the greens, especially when scoring doesn't necessarily get to that 20 under. I mean, it has gotten to 20 under, but it typically doesn't. It's typically similar to what we see in Houston, low teens, mid teens kind of scoring. And I think someone with Max Homa's ability on and around the greens can hold up. So I don't love it, but I'm much more willing to take a chance on him having an uptick in the ball striking.
Yeah, you're right. The short game has been splendid. He at least hit it a little bit better at the Players Championship, but he drove it kind of all over the yard and lost 4.5 strokes there. But outside of that one, outside of Players and Pebble Beach, which was just a very weird week weather-wise and everything, it's been a pretty good year for Homa. Okay, so he's the question mark. Who is one of the other guys that you're like in on?
Well, Corey Connors.
Okay.
You know, the one issue with him is he going to be just complete chalk?
Dude, I hate this, right? So yes, he will be. Corey Connors has done the perfect amount to be like 35% owned this week. And I guarantee he will either win or he will miss the cut. You will get nothing in between. I guarantee it. So he has been for a year an unbelievable ball striker and has given all of it back and then some on the putting greens. And then about a couple of starts ago, you know, the finishes start to get a little bit better. T24 here at Riv, T18 at Bay Hill, T13 at the Players. Now he's trending. And what does he do at Sawgrass? He tacks on 2.5 strokes with the putter, and he's going back to the greatest place on planet Earth for him. And now it is just like, you have to make a call to be all in or all out on Corey Connors. And I am positive I will get this wrong.
Well, that's a terrible attitude going in.
Thank you.
It's such a great spot for him for a reason, Rick. I mean, he's won here twice. His worst finish is a T35.
Look at his career numbers. This is by course. I don't have to point out the one that is TPC San Antonio. It's that giant green bar that towers over every other golf course that he has played. It's that one.
Yeah, he's played really well here, and he's putted well here too. So, I mean, there's obviously the two wins. He's played here in five. He has five starts here. He's gained strokes putting 4 out of the 5. The only one he lost a half a shot putting, so he's putted really quite well here. He's driven the ball beautifully, which he's been doing. And if there's going to be somebody who's a little volatile, this is a great setup. And I am definitely on the side of all in. I don't think it's miss the cut or win. I think there's a lot of room in between. And I'm looking at Corey Connors as kind of a T29 as the bad week. I think it's a great golf course for him for a reason. He is the prototypical player for this kind of golf course. And I'm willing to go in on it. I may pivot if ownership is just crazy high, because he's far from a lock to win. So
he's going to put those stinking boots on again. I know it.
Then play him.
I don't know about that. who's the other guy?
All right. The other guy who I really do think could put the boots on, Benny On.
Yes. I'm much happier about this.
Right. Now, Benny On has been getting his fair share of attention in the DFS community. He's been popular this year. A lot of guys have touted him, and for good reason, because the driver has been elite. It's been a weapon. He's shown the ability to spike with the irons. Players Championship didn't go great for him, but short game's been pretty good. He's pretty good in the bunkers too. I was looking at sand save percentages from last couple of years, and Ben On is right there inside the top. He's fifth over the last 2 years in this field in sand save percentage. So that's kind of like a tiebreaker stat that I'm curious about, but not making any decisions on. So I think that Ben On checks all the boxes, and I'm hoping that both Corey Connors and his missed cut last week help kind of take some of the ownership and attention off of Ben On.
And I think it will. I think that you've got Corey Connors, who will definitely suck up a lot of that ownership. And I'm very curious about what people will do with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth does not go 6% owned, right? He'll be 12% at the very least. So I do wonder if that's enough to get people off. Ben On has been one of the better players in 2024, and most of his damage has come in signature events, right? I mean, yeah. it's not like he's beating up on the tour's mules. He's beating up on like the big boys.
Yeah, he's playing with them. He was on the Korn Ferry Tour 2 years ago.
He's also played well here. I think he's got two top tens. Yeah, 6th and 6th last year, 7th in 2019.
It's a great setup for him. He's aggressive, which can be a separator, because there's some scary tee shots here. He's not afraid of those. So he will take on shots that'll give him an advantage over the rest of the field. And I think he's in a place where he's trusting the driver for sure. And the putter's fine. It's a lot better than Corey Connors, that's for sure.
Oh my God. I cannot believe we live in a world where Benny On would beat the crap out of Corey Connors in a putting contest.
Yeah, we do.
And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
The 8 case. Now, we got a couple of guys here, Greg, that finished really well last week, specifically at the top, Billy Horschel and Alex Noren. They're 8,900 and 8,700. Then you get Brian Harman and Adam Scott towards that middle upper, Harris English towards the middle, and then Russell Henley, Tom Kim, and Ricky Fowler round out the rest of this range.
Yeah, this one is – this is a tough range. Okay, there's some guys I like. They happen to be right up at the top. I think Horschel and Noren are really good plays. Beyond that, there's some question marks. So let's go to Alex Noren.
Okay.
All right, because he's probably the guy for me in this range. I love what he's been doing with his ball striking. With his entire game, I just have known for we've all known he's a great putter for a long time, so it's no surprise to see him putting well. But looking at some of the Scottie Scheffler statistics over the last couple of weeks, I was spending some time in the bogey avoidance camp, and you know, trying to figure out what Scottie does to make so few bogeys. Alex Noren's right there. He actually had made. Entering last week, he had made fewer bogeys than Scottie Scheffler on the year, but had played fewer holes. So he was second in bogey avoidance. And one of the reasons for that is his greens irregulation is extremely high this year.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe he's second on tour in greens irregulation.
Yeah. So how about this? So he is top 10. He's top 8 in both driving accuracy and greens irregulation. So when you hit a ton of fairways and you hit a ton of greens, yeah, pretty even I could avoid making bogeys like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a recipe. Right? And that's what Scottie does. Right? You don't drive it in any trouble and you knock it on the green, and it, should you miss one, you have a great short game that can bail you out. And I don't necessarily think that greens irregulation and fairways hit and bogey avoidance is the strategy on a weekly basis. Unless you are Scottie Scheffler and also lead in birdie average, right? That you become number one in the world. But in the case of Alex Noren, there are certain golf courses where you don't need to make a ton of birdies. You need to avoid trouble. This is one of those. You just sprinkle in some birdies. Just sprinkle them in here and there throughout the week. Like last week in Houston, if you made birdies on the 3 par fives every day and made no bogeys, you would have tied Steven Yeager.
Right.
But you think about it from that perspective, and it's like, well, oh, okay. I don't have to play that aggressive here. I got to take care of a couple of holes. This is a similar scoring style of golf course. So Alex Noren fits that mold for me.
Alex Noren's $8,700. He's got 3 straight top 20 finishes. He played great on the weekend in Houston. He finished T15 here last year. So, yes, absolutely on board there. You also mentioned Billy Horschel, Greg, who we talked about on Sunday's show because he's made some equipment changes, and all of a sudden the results are coming in. He's got 3 top 12 finishes in his last 4 starts, including a 7th place finish last week. Excuse me.
Yeah. Look, it's not... I feel like I'm chasing a little bit with Billy Horschel with these recent results, but when you look at his course history here, he's got 2 third place finishes. One's a T3, one's a third. He's got a tied 4th here. He has a T11 in 2018. So he has a pretty good pedigree here on this golf course. And he's just hitting the ball so much better. He's like a new player. Those equipment changes have led to a big spike in his greens irregulation. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch that he continues the good play heading into this week. So I feel like I'm chasing a little bit, but it's hard to ignore what we've seen, especially knowing there's the legitimate reason for it.
The guy that I've got clicked down at the bottom of this range is Harris English, who just continues to pile up these top 25 finishes, Greg, 17th, 7th, 21st, and 19th in his last 4 starts. And he, to me, kind of falls into that Alex Noren-esque category of just kind of well-rounded, don't make a lot of bogeys, just take your chances when they get here. And we've spoken about him quite a bit. Just seems like he's healthy and playing well again.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at the numbers for this golf course, average, as you say, well, that means that because somebody's going to have success when a golf course is kind of average in its statistics, it means it could very easily point to recent form as being the most important thing, right? Are you playing well coming in? If you're playing well coming in, no matter how you're doing it, you have a good chance of playing well at TPC San Antonio. And Harris English definitely checks that box. But I got a guy I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Feels like more of a chance, much more of a chance than the three guys we've talked about already. And that's Russell Henley.
Ooh, the Russ bus coming off
Coming off a miscut at the Players. But this feels like a smash spot for him.
Well, here's the thing. He's a better putting Corey Connors.
Fair.
Right? I mean, if we compared what Russell Henley and what Corey Connors do well, I mean, there'd probably be a lot of similarities, right?
Accurate, right? And elite approach play.
Yeah. Accurate off the tee, both over 65%, lots of greens in regulation, very good approach numbers. Corey Connors is a worse putter. Corey Connors hits it longer, but they're both very accurate. Yeah. Russell Henley is a cheaper, slightly shorter, better putting Corey Connors.
But this is the caveat. Russell Henley's only played here twice, albeit 2019, 2016. He has a T52 and a missed cut. And unlike Corey Connors, who putts really well here, Russell Henley has lost 3 strokes or more in both of his 2 starts here. So that might be a concern. Now, those are a long time ago.
Long time ago.
And he's been putting great lately. So I wonder if he can turn the corner. That's kind of why I was thinking that.
That's a pretty good one, because I think everybody was in on him for the Players. You know, he had a couple of T4s in the lead up. He misses the cut, and the Players feels like a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna star Russell Henley and keep that.
Keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Because look, everybody misses a cut at the Players.
Hell yeah.
It's brutal. I almost just rule that out, good or bad.
Yeah, whatever you did at the Players, I don't care.
Right. It needs to be a part of a trend in one way or the other in order for it to count for me.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation. We'll get down to the 7s, 6s, and yes, those pesky little 5s. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Greg, look at this 7K range. Christian Bezuidenhout leads us off at $7,900. He's up there with Aaron Ryan, Akshay Bhatia. The middle, Hostler, McCarthy, EVR. The bottom of this range, how about Mark Hubbard, Sam Ryder? What do you find when you start digging through here?
Well, I hate to do it because it feels like we're always starting right at the top, but DraftKings has done a nice job with their pricing this week. The play of the week seems to be Christian Bezuidenhout to me. I can't get enough. I can't take my eyes away.
That's for me on this.
This has been absolutely spectacular. I mean, every single event this year on the PGA Tour, except the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he's gained a shot or more approaching the green. He gained 7 at the Players. Now, he lost 6 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, but now it's very easy to just write that off. He's just continued spectacular play.
He is, I was looking at this the other day, the improvement that he has made. So the approach play, I think he's working with Jeff Smith now, and it kind of lines up with the start of the calendar year. So he was already a very good putter and has now turned into a very good second shot player and did not lose the putting. And it has created a very, very big leap for him that is starting to show up in all of these results.
And if there's a weakness, it's his driver, and it's not the accuracy. It's the distance, which I think is important to some degree, but not like it was last week. So I think you can get around this place with precision, and Christian has done that. So at 7,900, I mean, he's almost the kind of guy you could build your lineup around. Mm.
I agree. Where else in the 7K range? Oh,
there's a lot of guys, Rick.
There are.
There's a lot of guys. I mean, so Aaron Rye right beneath him. Let's just go there. This is another, again, very comparable style of scoring that you saw last week that's going to be required here. And his game has just been steady. He's a plotter. He's accurate off the tee. He didn't even get that advantage last week. The advantage of his accuracy was nowhere to be found last week, and he still finishes T7. I know he missed the cut at the Valspar, missed the cut in Phoenix, but other than that, his play has been so steady. And this feels like a steady man's kind of golf course. So I'm interested in Aaron Rye as well. Does feel like chasing a little bit.
What I like about him is he is capable of having one of the best ball striking weeks out of anybody in the field. And we've seen that kind of a couple times from him just since the end of last year, whether, you know, the putter cooperates or not, TBD, but he is a very high upside golfer that has shown it a handful of times. I want to get your thoughts on Lucas Glover here, Greg, because I was ready to write him off, and I'm just getting reeled right back into this. And the reason for it is, again, you know, use Corey Connors as your blueprint, right? What does Corey Connors do well? He keeps it in play off the tee. Okay, that's what Lucas Glover does. Corey Connors is a great second shot player. Okay, great. Lucas Glover is as well. Lucas Glover, the putter, same thing as Corey Connors, has not been the strong suit over the years. However, I just listened to him talk about now he's still using that same lab putter, but he's using a different head that is easier for him to line up instead of being a big block. It like looks better to him. And now he gains nearly a stroke putting at Valspar. And just when I was ready to never click Lucas Glover's name again, I am back looking at Lucas Glover's profile.
Yep. He's one of the names I wrote down here, Rick. And we talked about him last week as well. Or at the Valspar, we talked about him. So 2 Mondays ago, for just this reason, like even though the putting has been poor, it's not a yip. And so it gives him, because he's gotten rid of the yips, the chances of him having a good, decent putting week goes way up. It becomes a real possibility just without the yips. So I know we kind of feel like it was overplayed, because he's still not a great putter. But it's not like he cracked the code. He just filled a massive hole in the wall, right? And now he can hang the ball. You know, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's a nice picture, maybe it's not. But all those possibilities now open up. So yeah, I'm all in on Lucas Glover. This style, the accuracy with both irons and the driver, that all comes into play here. And you don't have to fill it up with birdies. Kind of similar to a Valspar, where he finished T11, 11th, solo 11.
Solo 11. Okay. Those are probably my favorites. Cibes, Lucas Glover. I like Victor Perez down at the bottom. Yeah. Is there anybody we're missing here?
Yeah. Well, we got to talk about it. Okay. We at least have to talk about it. And it's, I don't know what to do. It's Keith Mitchell.
Oh, boy.
What do we, Rick, what do we do? This ball striking is absurd. His record here is pretty good. He has a T17 in 2021, a T26 in 2018. It's pretty solid. And he seems to be hitting the ball as well as he ever has.
You know,
so help me.
I don't know if I can. I have spent a lot of time not playing Keith Mitchell, and I'm not sure I've ever regretted it. And I just don't know what it is about him, you know, because this is one of those guys that if you had to play 1,000 holes, I think he'd beat a lot of his peers. But you got to play 72. And then, you know, when it gets down to Sunday and things start to get really tight, he's kind of starts to play his worst. So I don't know. I don't have a data take. I don't have anything logical or reasonable. I just don't like investing in it.
Mm. All right. I'm sold. It's a really good point. I've never really regretted it.
Yeah.
You know, and I always like, I look at Keith Mitchell right now and I could say, okay, let's pretend TPC San Antonio, the Valero Texas Open, there's a one next to his name at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to do this exercise and it becomes so obvious, right? There are three events since the American Express where he's gained over 6 shots or more approaching the green. And he's gained strokes approaching the green in just about every one of them, except for Pebble Beach, which is one round. He lost a half a shot. So this is like, there's obviously something going on with the iron play. And I like to invest in that kind of thing. I like to attach myself to that. But at the same time, where's the T3? There's a couple of fifths.
Couple of ninths.
So I get what you're saying, but I think I'm investing.
Okay. That's fine.
Maybe I'm just feeling a little, I think I'm going to invest,
all right,
but I'm still undecided.
I don't want to spend your money. I'm not going to let you spend mine. So that's all. Anybody else?
No, the last guy that I had written down was Victor Perez.
Okay. Yeah. I just kind of mentioned him earlier. He's probably playing a lot better than people realize. I mean, I don't know how many brain cells people are allocating to Victor Perez over the course of the last couple of weeks, but third in Puerto Rico, T16 at Cognizant, T17 in Houston. He did miss the cut at Valspar, but a lot of green, a lot of solid play, even going
striping
back.
It.
Yeah. Striping it. So not asking for much, but go out and get us a T9.
7,100 T9. Take that and run.
Yeah. The $6,000 range. Remember, we still have the fives to get to. This does go all the way down to the 5K range. The top of the sixes are Adam Shank, Doug Gim, Davis Riley. The middle is Andrew Novak, Seamus Power. The bottom of the 6K range is Ben Silverman, Chandler Phillips, and Grayson Sig. Obviously, there's a lot more names than I read out there, Greg, but where do you want to go first here?
Boy, I love this 6K range.
Wow. Okay.
I wrote down eight names that I think are playable.
Just make lineups out of those eight.
Well, if I had Scotty at 13K, I would.
Scotty in the long shots,
right? So I'll read a couple to you. Stop me if any of these guys really catch your attention.
Okay.
The first one, I never thought I would say this. I was so done with Davis Riley. You know who Davis Riley went back to working with?
Oh, I do not.
His name has been mentioned on this podcast already. Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith.
Yes.
I might have known that.
So he just went back to him after the players. Wow. And all of a sudden, he starts striping it last week. Starts playing great golf. And so, again, you look at this profile, and it's very easy to say statistically, okay, well, Davis Riley just simply had a good week. And that's all the evidence would say. I would never get on board here with this. But because he's went back to his old coach, Jeff Smith, and gotten back to old feels, like he said, I think there's something that can stick. I think there's something that can click. And
what if I just do this, Greg? What if this was just his whole profile? That would look a lot better. Just his last two starts. I just got rid of everything else. This is the Jeff Smith era right here.
Yeah. He's got a miscut at a T14. Right? It's like, oh, okay.
Don't look at anything beyond this.
Yeah. If that's all it was, I would say no. But I know that he's won on the PGA Tour. He's content in a team event. He's contended. He's a really good player who I've thought has been underperforming, but I feel like there's a little inspiration now that something actually worked.
Okay.
So
I like a real life change being reflected in the stats. I like
that. I eat it up.
Okay.
Eat it up. So all in there, continuing down, Andrew Novak.
Yep. We've spoken to him quite a bit. Agreed.
T53 last week, not great. He's at 6,500. Keep hammering the well there. Max Gracerman, really impressive last week. Really impressive. This has been a short career. We haven't seen a lot, but since the Cognizant Classic, you have a T15 in Puerto Rico, a T33 at the Valspar, a T7 last week in Houston. I think he's starting to feel comfortable. I really like what I saw out of him, getting to watch him on the broadcast last week.
He's never been more than 2.5% owned. So I also think you're going to get him at a pretty decent number too.
All right. This one may surprise you, also at 6,500. I don't know where this has come from, but Ryan Moore.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Rick, this is what he has done in the last three events has been sweet.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah. And then look at his record here.
I knew his record was good.
Yeah, he has his first ever start in 2012. He finished T8, T18 in 17, seventh in 18, third in 19. In his last two starts, he has a 76 and a missed cut. But all of a sudden, when you look at this recent play, he was T5 at the Valspar, and he gained 9 strokes approaching the green. He gained 6 strokes approaching the green at the Players, 4.7 strokes approaching the green last week in Houston. He is one of the slowest clubhead speed players on the PGA Tour, and he's gained strokes off the tee in the last 3 weeks. What is going on?
He's back on team no putt, but because he's old, it's like team no putt emeritus. Like he gets like an honorable, like welcome back. Maybe an alum situation.
A career earnings exemption to team no putt.
Exactly. I was not expecting to see this.
No, I wasn't either. And I think it's when you have 3 weeks in a row like that, and then you combine the course history here, it's a lot to ignore.
It's really good.
At 6,500. Lot to ignore.
Best course on tour form
over his whole career.
Yeah. Sorry, I should clarify. Of courses that are on the schedule this year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where
I. Okay. Well, still,
yeah.
So that's fantastic.
I'm surprised you have not named the guy yet. The guy who's mispriced. The guy.
What is it? Is it? Does he have a nickname? No. No way.
I don't think
he does. The guy's on my list. The guy who's mispriced. Right? Okay. He's at 6,300.
Yeah,
he's on my... So my debate, there were two guys that I think I wrote them down. I'm not sure I need to go there. Okay. But this I do need to go here because it's Matty Schmidt.
Unbelievable. How disrespectful.
What? The disrespect, it's sickening.
He is $6,300, the same price as Adam Svensson, who has missed three of his last five. Sorry, Adam. Alejandro Tosti, fine. JJ Spahn, he has gone T10, T26, T17, T21. Unbelievable off the tee. Very good putter with that long stick. Okay on a like this. He is vibing right now.
Right. And he's smiling around the golf course. He's having fun. Like, this is just working out for him. Things are just going well. And like we said, average golf course, when it comes to statistics, you go heavy to recent form. Matty Schmidt checks that box. By the way, he smashes it, which isn't a prerequisite here, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, if you want to smash it, smash it. I don't care. Yeah, that's the guy right there.
Yeah, top choice. I agree. All right. Also, I had... This feels like I'm chasing a little bit, but Chandler Phillips.
Oh, coming off the T3 and the T45. So
yeah, T3, T45. But it's been four events in a row with basically gaining three strokes approaching the green in each of those. So the ball striking has been pretty high quality. He's been bland on the greens. He's a Texas guy.
He is
playing in Texas. And he's at 6,000 flat. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to go win, but if he can give you another T45, you take that, right?
I would, yes. I would take it if he was going to give me another T45.
So the other two guys that I wrote down, Rick, we don't have to look at them, but Seamus Power and Bud Cauley.
Yes.
Also in this range. I think they're also playable.
Seamus has been playing a lot better. And then Bud Cauley, you know, the place that I thought was going to be like the best place for him is where he missed the cut. But otherwise, he's been very good.
Very solid.
The 5Ks starts with Aaron Baddeley, Chan Kim, Chris Goddard. The middle is Grayson Murray, Hayden Springer, Matt Neesmith. The min priced golfers this week include Kevin Kisner, Josh Teeter, and JB Holmes is in every field, isn't he?
Every week you mention him, min price.
Every week I'm stunned that he's in the field.
And he has missed a lot of cuts in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 straight cuts for JB Holmes.
He has not made a cut on the PGA Tour since the Valspar last year. So over a year.
Honda, 23 Honda I have. Wait, you got Valspar?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, so no, you're right.
He missed a cut at the Valspar.
Right, that started the streak.
Right.
Yes, my bad. So it's been 14 months since he's made a cut on the PGA Tour.
And it wasn't much better before that.
With respect, how's he getting into these fields?
I wonder if he's playing on like a career. I haven't looked into it. So I apologize.
You have not.
I should be more prepared.
How JB Holmes is getting into these fields, you haven't looked?
No, I apologize. But this could be like a career money exemption kind of a deal.
he's in on a, at least for this week, he's in on a major medical.
Oh, okay. So he gets a certain number of starts. Well, that there's your answer.
Yeah.
So he'll get a certain number of starts and he's going to have to contend if he or get hurt again.
Those are his two options.
Yeah, because he can't have that many more events left.
He can't. You don't get that many.
No, and he's played already 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's played 6 already.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, he may have another 6, depending on what that major medical was, but we might that's not looking good.
We might not be seeing Jamie Holmes for a while. Okay, who else? Who do we have here in the 5K range?
All right, there's a couple guys that I think are interesting at the very least. One, probably my top choice in this range, top curiosity level, Ben Martin. He's at 5,600.
Okay. So I have no idea what's about to show up when I click this.
It's pretty good.
Sweet.
It's pretty good. T67 at the Valspar, T31 at the Players, T42 in Puerto Rico for his last three starts. He's gained strokes approaching the green and ball striking in all three of those. The putter was pretty bad at the Valspar, but everywhere else it's been pretty good. At 5,600, this is a go make a cut. And I think he's trending in the right direction and very capable of that.
Okay.
He finished T10 here in 2023. So another little check in the box. Made a lot of cuts here.
He's made 3 straight cuts.
All right. Let's go also to down to 5,500 and take a look at Grayson Murray. This is pretty interesting. T25 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, T42 at the Players. He obviously won at the Sony. So this is not a prediction of another win. But it feels to me like he got that win. There's the winner's lull.
Yep.
And I think he's working his way out of that. And he seems to be doing it with some improved ball striking, which I'm very clearly in favor of this week.
Which the winner's lull, he would not be the first to fall victim to that.
No. That's many, many players.
And he will not be the last, but you're right that the two last two starts of metrics look a lot like the win and then the American Express, which he missed the cut, but he had one really bad round. The other stuff wasn't too bad.
I think it was the first round at the American Express.
It was I have it as the third round.
Oh, okay. Maybe he fought back. You know, I think he was well over par in the first round and fought back.
I think you're right.
So, but anyway, I think he could be trending in the right direction. And at 5,500, we need a T40.
Lonto Griffin's back to making cuts, and he's finished 34th, 53rd, and 15th here in the last couple of years.
Yeah, his game in theory, you know, really wide lens would be a nice fit here.
Yeah.
He's a really good driver of the ball. Tends to be a good putter.
In theory. Would you play Padraig Harrington, who is crushing the senior tour, but kind of getting crushed everywhere else?
No.
Come on. Patty?
No, I'd rather play Joe Highsmith. He's 5,800.
21st last week, gained 6.7 strokes ball striking, had a T6 at Puerto Rico. That's not really a bucket hat. It's more of a sun hat, right?
That's like an Australian hat. Which I actually have some of those.
So do
I. Same ones from Titleist. They're awesome.
I have the same one, Titleist, with a TPC Las Vegas logo on the side, because it was a billion degrees out there one day. And I said, I'm going to melt unless I get this hat. And I bought it.
It helps. When I was standing out on the lesson tee all day, I wore one of those.
It's awesome.
I don't play in them. I don't. But I will wear it on the lesson tee. And if you ever go to the beach,
perfect for the beach. It's like an umbrella for your head.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta have it.
Yeah.
So big fan of the Aussie style hat.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe Highsmith. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck this week.
What else we got?
Those were the three. I had Highsmith, Martin, and Grayson Murray in this range.
Okay. I had Aaron Baddeley is at the top of this range. He's played this a billion times. He's been pretty good, and he's got a 17th in Valspar, 23rd in Puerto Rico. I had him. I had Dylan Wu at 5,700.
I looked at him too. He's interesting.
And then I had a question mark next to Podrick, but you dismissed it pretty quickly. So now I'm
yeah, sorry. I just don't. I don't know. The upside just doesn't seem to be there.
He's outclassed. He's crushing the guy. He's like Scotty on the senior tour. And then he comes here and it's like, you know,
it's amazing to keep up. But, you know, you said something to me a couple of years ago, Rick, when you get down into these ranges, there are some guys that, you know, their names and it's very easy to click them. But like their potential is very limited, where there are some guys that you don't know mm-hmm. who you might know in a few years, and it could be a real big asset to your team. So that's why I said Joe Highsmith, because he's played 11 events on the PGA Tour. We don't know who he is yet.
Yes.
And we could learn very quickly. That kind of player has a much higher chance of somehow winning than Potter Carrington. In my opinion,
I agree with myself from a couple of years.
Yeah, it's wise. I always remember that.
It's true. Like I know exactly what Ryan Palmer is. I have no idea what Joe Highsmith is.
Yeah. And Joe Highsmith could be really good. He could turn out to be a superstar. Who knows?
If he just turns out to be like the 40th best player for $5,800, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Greg?
I'm excited for this week. It's going to be fun to build lineups because there are a lot of options in these lower tiers. And I think because of this absence of Scottie Scheffler, there's a lot of options up top as well. It's going to be fun to build them. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Remember, this is the start. Basically starting tomorrow, just like full steam ahead on Texas Open and Masters stuff. So we talked about this last night, but just to remind everyone, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time, we are doing an early Masters preview. It is a 44-minute show that will be live on CBS Sports Network. When the show is complete, they will send us the audio and the video, and we will upload it to this YouTube channel. So you can watch it live, which we encourage, or you can catch up afterwards here on YouTube. That does not stop us from doing a Texas Open Megapod tomorrow at normal time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, live on YouTube, all that fun stuff. And then, Greg, we are rolling right into round by round recaps. And then we are rolling right into Masters coverage, where we're doing the pods on CBS Sports Network. So, basically, this is the last day of normalcy. And then starting tomorrow is going to be the sprint.
The mayhem. And I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome tournament to cover, both this week and obviously next week.
So sick. So sick.
I can't believe it's here.
Okay. Well, big thanks to producer Troy, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there is Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFT, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
how you survive.
You make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.